This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
In Acts chapter 5, I just want to give a bit of background for the scripture I'm actually going to read out. But Acts chapter 5, and it follows on from Acts 4, where God was moving incredibly in the church. And people were getting healed and saved. There was a great boldness on the people. And then all the apostles were brought before all of the Jewish religious leaders and governors and rulers. And they were threatened not to teaching the name of Jesus anymore. And anyway, they answered them and said they said to them, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so they threatened them again and they left rejoicing. But they came back to the church, the whole church. Came back to all their brothers and sisters and said what had happened. And they all prayed with one accord. They all lifted up their voice and they prayed. And this, they didn't say, God, bless my business, bless my home, bless my family. And I'm not saying that to say we don't pray those things. You know, save me, heal me. Do this for me. But that passion and that purpose was burning in their hearts. I've been praying that we would have a revelation of the glory of God. And, you know, the thing is, when we see God, you know, the words that we had there, that his thoughts are not our thoughts. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's plans, they're the ones that are going to prevail. And that was confirmed again about the plans that God has are not our plans. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher. And God's got to lift us up. He's got to lift us up. It becomes all about us, all about me. God bless me and mine, prosper me in whatever I'm doing, and it can even be ministry, but it's incredibly selfish. And we've got to live for a much higher purpose than that. And this is a whole church who were threatened. You stop teaching in that name. You stop laying down your lives to get that gospel to the people that haven't heard it yet. I just want to remind you what Holy Spirit's doing and saying to each one of us. Karen, she's preaching last week about a dead church and being watchful that the things that remain aren't lost. And she broke down and she was looking at all the empty chairs. There's more empty chairs today than there was last Sunday. And, you know, that's the problem. When it becomes all about us, all about my comfort, all about my security, and you know, God's come into the world to make my life secure. Well, I want to tell you something. He hasn't done that. Yes, he has, but it's not in this life. You're actually going to get more trouble if you want to sign up and follow Jesus Christ. And if you haven't dealt with that issue, you are not fit to be a follower of Jesus. I'm not fit to be a follower of Jesus Christ because self is the problem. He has raised us. He has made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're living for a higher cause. As Tony Campolo would say, we're marching to the beat of a different drum. This whole world is controlled by the prince of the power of the air who says it's all about you. It's all about your security. It's all about your blessing. It's all about your favor. And the Bible says that we were all once controlled by that spirit, manipulated by that spirit. We were enemies of God. We were living for the lusts of our mind and the lusts of our flesh, whatever we could get out of it. And God has called us out of that to a higher purpose, to see His glory and to live for His glory. That's my prayer, that we'll get a revelation of the glory of God. There was an incredibly holy, humble man who would pray night and day, seeking God, doing His will. And you know that he had a revelation of the glory of God. You can find it. You just turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And the Bible says, in the day that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw the heavens opened, and I saw His glory filling the temple. And the angels crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He saw that vision of the glory of God. And you know what happened? He said, I am undone. I am a broken man. I'm completely devastated. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know, the fear of man can bring a real snare. I haven't been called to preach to please anybody. I've been called, I know my call, but boy, do I want to please people. I want to preach something that's nice, that people will love. But He hasn't called me to do that. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that he saw the Lord. You know, King Uzziah, he would represent, as it were, pride. That's what he represented. He was a very proud man. He became strong himself. He did everything himself, but he died not knowing the Lord, not serving the Lord. And it was in the day that he died that Elijah had this vision and revelation of the Lord and saw the true condition of his heart, saw the true reality of his life, and he was undone. And you know what he heard God saying then? He said, who will go for me? Who will I send? Who will go for me? There are many that think they're going for God, but they're not. They're just blowing their own trumpet. And how many times have I just blown my own trumpet? You know, Lord, I want to be successful. It's not about that. It's about preaching that name that is above every other name, the only name that has been given under heaven whereby men must be saved. They must be saved. And God's looking for people who are going to preach that name and declare that name. And here in the book of Acts, here's a church that's been threatened that serious things are going to come upon your life, serious discomfort we're going to put upon you if you continue doing what you're doing. If you continue not living for yourselves, not building your own little kingdoms and your own little houses while this house lies in ruins. How many of us? You know, it's all about this world, all about eternal, not eternal, it's all about security for the future. And God's called us to live for Him. And that will bring insecurity in your life in this world. It will bring trouble in your life in this world. But that church said, no problem. They lifted up their voice with one accord. This is what they said. They quoted scripture. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took you ready to stand against kings? And the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They knew what was really going on. You know, God said to Jeremiah one day, if you've run with the footmen and you're weary, what's going to happen to you if you start running with chariots? Jeremiah got discouraged. This is hard work, God. What about a little bit of blessing in my life? Well, I tell you what, the greatest blessing that you could ever know is to line up with God's heart and see His will being done. I think is it John or some singer wrote a song about, it's only in your will that I am free. You know, the devil's all sown this. If you could do this, you'd be so free, you'd be so happy. If you could achieve that, you'd be so free, you'd be so happy. No, it's only in His will that we are free. And that's the greatest joy that you can ever have. There is a joy that is indescribable. There is a joy that is above every other joy. It's the joy that comes from being in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's His plans, His purposes that we've got to line up. So they had all these threats, and they said, "Now, Lord, look at their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. I want to see that here. But the condition is one heart, one mind, one voice, one accord. You know, we have a prayer meeting here, we'll get three or four. That's great. But doesn't it say something? Doesn't it say something? When God's looking for that kind of unity, that kind of passion, doesn't it say something when we look at the reality, when God says, "This house, my house, shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, for all people." When they prayed, the whole place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness, or one heart, one mind. Great power, the apostles, great power came. Incredible things were happening. Then Acts 5, a guy there, Ananias and his wife, were giving. People were selling their possessions, selling their homes, and putting the money at the disciples, at the apostles' feet. What for? Because the passion of getting the gospel out was all that consumed them. They weren't thinking their retirement plan. They weren't thinking of this. "Oh, we preach. Oh, God's concerned about your retirement." Well, just read what Jesus said. Read what He told us to live for. And so Ananias and Sapphira, everybody was giving. Well, they wanted to be in on the act. They wanted to appear just as sold out and holy for God as all the other people were giving. And you know what? They schemed together. Let's give the impression to everybody that we're giving everything, but we'll keep half of it back. And so they come in and give it there, and the Spirit of God comes upon the Apostle Peter, and he says to Ananias, why have you conceived this thing in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why have you done? And he drops dead. Do you want that kind of power in this church? How many of us would drop dead? Do you want that kind of power? We're praying for it. Do I want it? Do you want it? You know, there's got to be great searchings of heart. I've been preaching about the heart because everything we do comes out of the heart. Do we want that kind of power where God will put His finger on an issue in our heart? He dropped dead. Doesn't tell me whether he lost his salvation. I don't know. It just tells me he dropped dead. His wife comes in 4 hours later. Asked her the story. She says the same story. She drops dead. Do we want that kind of anointing in this place? So after this happens, there's great fear. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why. That's the God of the Old Testament, isn't it? We've got a different God today. He would never do that. It's the same God. It's the same God. After that, there was great fear came upon the church and all those who heard these things. I'll bet they did. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done through the among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And yeah, this is no wonder. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Why is that? Because they knew what they were living for. They weren't living for themselves. They were living absolutely, totally for the glory of God. His purpose was their purpose. His passion was their passion. and then his power was their power. Do you want the power of God? Well, you've got to have the same purpose. We've got to have the same passion. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds. And I've been praying that people coming onto this property are going to walk into the presence of God. Why? Because this is a great property? No, because we're here praying. Because we're here. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gateway of heaven. This is where heaven comes down. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's where heaven comes down. How awesome is this place? They brought the sick. At least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some, and they were being healed. Multitudes gathered from surrounding city, bringing all the sick and those tormented. How many people are tormented with unclean spirits today that need to be set free? You just hear. You can hear just the words of people's mouth. You can see there's a devil behind it. There's a demon behind it. Why do we sit here helpless? Send them to the psychiatrist. Send them to the doctors. Give them some more drugs. That's what they used to do in the old days. They'd send them to the witch doctor. The witch doctor, all he did was mix up some potions. Where's the power of God that we need? So when the high priest rose up and all those with him, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were all filled with indignation, jealousy, indignation. They laid hands on the apostle, put them in the common prison. And at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison door. Praise God, he saved me. You know what he said? Go right back into the fire. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. First thing in the morning. But the high priest and all those came together and they wanted to bring them out of prison to judge them. Found out they weren't in prison. Found out they were in the temple preaching. Went to them and brought them to the high priest. And so when they brought before them, and when they brought them and set them before the council, and the high, this is, I'm getting to the scripture that I want to challenge on. Brought them to the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. I want to ask, there was incredible rescue, you obeying God. Don't tell me things you've done. Don't tell me works you have done. Don't tell me how many times you come to church, how many times you've done this or that. I want to ask you, are you obeying God? Are you obeying him? He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Saviour, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. You and I are witnesses to these things. And listen, this is the one. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. There are many things I can talk about obedience. I just want to share one thing. There's the man in the Bible, we all know him, King Saul. Incredibly humble man. When he had the call of God, he ran, hid. Even though he was a man who was head and shoulders above the people, he hid. Humble man. And God gave him a new heart. gave him a heart that was his heart. You know, I talked about guarding our heart. We've got to guard that heart that God's given you, because everything in your life, I don't know, there are things crept in, disillusionments maybe, resentments, things that have stopped you. I'm not going to give all like I did because people let me down. Well, it's not about people. It's about you following Jesus Christ, who said trouble's going to come, hard times that are going to come, who said that father would rise up against their children, real children rise up against their parents, that your greatest enemies are going to be those even in your own household. But he said, you follow me. You make that choice. And I'll tell you what, walking with Jesus, there's joy in his presence. That's where your joy is. That's where our strength is. So Saul was a man, started humbly, but he got all religious. He got all into trying to impress people, made stupid vows, charged the people foolishly because he got enamored. He started off with the heart of God. You know how he started off? There was an Ammonite king by the name of Nahash. You know, his name is like the hissing of a snake. You know, the devil, he's the snake. And you know what? This Nahash came to attack certain people of Jabesh, and he says, he comes to attack them with his army, and the people of Jabesh says, oh, make a covenant with us, we'll serve you. What are the conditions? Will we surrender? What are the conditions of surrender? And you know what he said? This is the conditions of surrender. I want to put out all of your right eyes so that I can bring reproach on all Israel. I want to pull your eyes out. And they, you know what they said to him? Give us 7 days. If no one will save us, then we'll submit to what your conditions are. And King Saul was anointed king by Samuel at that time. When he heard, everybody else was afraid. Everybody else, oh, we're all right. Well, bad luck for them. But King Saul said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He blew a trumpet. He was angry. And he challenged the whole nation. And God gave him an incredible victory. And in that victory, it's like every one of us, when we call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, he answers us, shows us great and mighty things, shows us his heart, shows us what he wants to do, shows us his plans and his purposes. It's not great and mighty things about us. It's the great and mighty things that he wants to do and use us to do it. Isn't that incredible? So King Saul was right there, had a huge victory. Suddenly it became all about the people. And he got into fear. And then Samuel the prophet tells him, I think it's in 1 Samuel 15, and he says to him, right, I want you to do something. I want you now to gather your army and go against the Amalekites. I want you to absolutely, totally destroy them. And you think, boy, that's a bit rugged. You read the Old Testament, you think, what's going on? Massacring people. The Amalekites were the people right back in the book of Exodus, when the people were weary and thirsty. They came to a certain place, they were weary, thirsty, there was no water, and they were crying out to God. Well, actually, they didn't cry out to God, they complained to Moses, give us water, why have you brought us into this desert to die of thirst? After they'd seen incredible victories. And while they're there, Moses says, why do you cry to me? You're contending, you're murmuring against God. And so God, that's when he shows him to take his rod and strike the rock, and water flowed out. But it was immediately after that and during that time, the Amalekites attacked them. All those who were weary and discouraged, you know, they were attacking them from behind. The Amalekite always talks about our flesh. Amalekite represents the flesh. Every one of us has a flesh. Poor me. Poor me. What about me? When we're told not to nurture the flesh, but to crucify it. The flesh is always poor me. I can't do it. Oh, God, you know. But we are born again of an incorruptible spirit. So we've got to deal with the flesh. So here's King Saul. I want you to judge the Amalekites, wipe them all out. You know what King Saul did? He went there, had a great victory, but he spared the king, Agag, spared him. And God had told him to wipe out everything. They were to keep nothing, all the cattle, all their goods. They were to burn the whole lot. But they kept the best of the sheep, goats. That's good stuff. They spared the best that they thought in their own minds. The good stuff. And don't we do that? We're serving God and we spare the best. We spare our flesh, the best of our, not the bad stuff. Not the adultery, not the, but the good stuff. We spare it. And King Saul comes back after this incredible victory over the Amalekites. And Samuel's coming. So he races off to greet Samuel, full of pride. Oh, hail, blessed of the Lord, I've fulfilled the will of God. And you know what Samuel said? What's this bleating in my ear? I can hear sheep. And he told him, you've been incredibly foolish. You've done a foolish thing because God wanted to establish the kingdom with you. He wanted to fulfill his word, his will, his plan, his purpose through your life. Why have you not? And he started to make excuses. Oh, it was the people. The people spared the best of the sheep. They did it. And we're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. How many times have we prayed, God bless my business and I'll give you half of it? It's that same spirit. How many times have we prayed that either get it, give yourself or you don't? Don't make these promises that are meaningless that are just off the flesh. And so Saul did that, made all these excuses. You know what Samuel said? Be quiet after he's rattling off. You know, in other words, shut up. Sometimes we've got to shut up. Just like Elijah, when he saw the glory of God, he shut up, realized that he was a man of unclean lips. All this garbage that comes out, idle, oh, we know so much. We can quote God's word back to him, tell him exactly what to do, can't we? Where's the person who's going to obey him? Simply what he says. How many times do we quote scripture, you have to do this because blah, 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 this is your word. You know, God rebukes people that take his word in his mouth and they don't live according to what he said. He rebukes them. He says, what right do you have to take my word in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and you cast my rebuke behind your back? How many of us God has trying to been dealing with? He's been saying, you've got to get that area of husbands. Are you loving your wife and then praying to God to bless everything else? Wives, are you obedient, submissive, praying for your husbands? Doesn't mean that you're somebody to be walked over. It means that you're serving God in doing that. And if your husband tells you to do something wrong, you say, no. No, I respect you, but no, I will not do that. I'm not talking about being a walkover. How many things in our lives that God has pointed out and he wants it changed and we're saying no? You don't understand how difficult that is for me. You don't understand. There's a real challenge in my heart. There's a real burden in my heart that we've got to see the power of God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And when I look at this, I realize that in a lot of ways, we've got a kingdom just like King Saul's. We're not, and you know, in the end, Samuel rebukes. I'm just going to finish here. In the end, Samuel rebukes him. And maybe I'll just read it straight out of the scripture. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. And Samuel said to him, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many of us are rebelling in our life? Oh, we'll pray against witches. But how many of us are rebelling in our life? And it's as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Here's the reality. God's dealing with our hearts. It's time for us. Judgment has got to start in the house of God. Unless God's judgments are in the earth, the people of the earth will not learn righteousness. Well, if we haven't learnt it, to walk in righteousness means to hear his voice and to do what he says to you. Listen, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Now that's serious. So judgment starts in the house of God. And here's a word. The Bible says, there was somebody prayed this morning, I forget who, but it prayed about humility. The Bible says, if we will humble ourselves under his mighty hand, I want you to recognize that God's mighty hand is upon you. How many are feeling weighed down? Oh, God, take this away, take that away, do this for me, do that for me. If you will humble yourself under his mighty hand, Peter says, James says, that same hand that God might have holding us down. Why? Because God resists the proud. What happened to Saul? He became proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. My prayer is that there will be a humility in this church, and we will be a house of prayer. We will be a house where people are coming broken before the Lord, not for our own needs, because that's how we get saved. Call unto me in the day of trouble, like Bev's sister Trin. She needs the power of God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. What have we been first and foremost called to do? That's right. And we pray our Father in heaven. We pray. This is how you pray. You know, when Jesus stood up in that synagogue in his own hometown and the book was given to him, the book from Elijah the prophet, same prophet who had that revelation of God's glory, place where it's written, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what I'm living for. Do you want that? If that's what you want, it's going to mean total obedience. Not pray, heal me, God. Do this for me, God. We've got to live for a higher purpose than that. We're here to live for the glory of God because we've seen his glory. That's why that old hymn, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's not just words. When his glory is revealed, people are either going to be looking up full of rapture or they're going to be running as hard as they can to find some rock or cave to hide in. That's the kind of thing. I don't want anybody doing that. Do you want people running? Because they know that that's it. No more time to change. Oh, I wish I'd heard. I wish I'd listened then. Too late. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's serious business. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. It's a sword that divides between soul and spirit, knows the very thoughts and intents of the heart. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth a trumpet that will never call defeat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. And one of the last verses that I want to quote. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom which transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free while God is marching on. That's the call. I'm just going to leave it there. Can we stand up? I'm just going to pray. I have gone way over. God, we just thank you that you have opened the throne where there is all grace available. Lord, we hear in the past about incredible moves. And Lord, to tell you the truth, my heart, I'd like to see that just to experience that. But Lord, we want to know your heart as to why you need to do that. Why your glory needs to be manifest. The power of your Holy Spirit needs to be seen and felt so that men and women can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, we ask that you, your eyes that have heard, you've spoken to us, that are looking to and fro for the whole earth, would rest in this place, that you'd find in us a heart that is willing to obey you. Not only hear and obey, to hear and obey you. Lord, continue that work. Lord, we want to live for your glory. If it messes up all our plans, Lord, to see your glory and to see your plan and purpose, God, that is all right. Whatever you want to do, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done. And Lord, if we are the people that you want to use as vessels to do that, we are the gateway. You've already said it. Whatever is clogging your kingdom and your glory being revealed, Lord, we ask, remove it. Remove it from my heart, every area of disobedience and rebellion and stubbornness. Lord, we repent before you. We're not going to blame anybody else. We're not going to blame our mum, our dad, our brother, our sister, our church, our community. We're not going to blame anybody else. We're going to stop running and hiding. But God, we're going to stand before you and say, I'm the man. I'm the woman. Lord, what you say is true. My experience is a lie, Lord, if it contradicts your word. Here we are. Here we are. We cry it like Elijah. Here we are. Send us. Send us and use us. I ask this in Jesus' wonderful name.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.